This is a podcast from Minute Media.
This podcast is sponsored by The Coldest Water, a company at war with hot. They believe that the coldest things are the best things in life. Built for athletes and high performers, they are famous for creating the coldest water bottles to the coldest pillow to the coldest ice packs. They have even developed the coldest dog bed and dog bowl to keep your furry friends cooler during the hotter months. Get 10% off your first order by using the code CBC at coldest.com. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we're coming to you from a couple of different places on the internet. We are live on YouTube. We're live on Crowdcast. We are coming to you later on a variety of podcast platforms. And most importantly, we're coming to you. To you from a bunch of different states in the United States. For example, I'm in New York, which is wild.
Tell us about it. Yeah, I know, it's crazy there.
It's all right. It's about like 50 degrees or so. And Pete's in Pennsylvania. That's crazy. And I think we're good. We don't need to really establish where anybody else is. Yeah.
That's right. Zeroed out. I'm in the Pennsylvania of the Pacific Ocean, Hawaii on Maui. It's 1 p.m. here. I got a beer kicking and I'm a professional person.
Awesome. Well, listen, thank you for calling in. If you have to leave to go to a palm tree at any point, feel free. I don't know.
I'm going to check out the Hawaiian pine trees. Alex, I feel like you've mistaken Hawaii and Canada.
Yeah. Hawaii is the island of the north. I don't know.
We got big news in the comments here. There's a new garbage plate spot in Brooklyn called Brooklyn Hots. Pete, will this be enough to move you back to our fair city?
Oh, I'll check it out. I'm not scared.
Great. This is going great. We have a bunch of guests for you that we're going to bring in a little bit in a moment here, but a couple of things to talk about. First, we should kick it off doing, as we do every month, thanking the amazing folks on Patreon who support us. Patreon.com/comicbookclub. Anybody who supports the $5 above level, we do a little thank you here at the beginning of the month. So that's the list of names you're about to hear. Kicking it off with Oidis Larson,
Aaron C. Hollis,
Adam Marks,
Adriel Moreland,
Alana Fontenot,
Amanda Harris,
Amy Gonzalez,
Andrew Prima,
Andrew Tillman,
Beercat, PhD,
Benjamin Brown,
Carly W,
Chris Leatherman,
Christina Jamalino.
Nice. What is this accent? Chris Terlizzi.
That's the I'm scared of this name accent. Clemens Luer.
Curtis LaRock.
D-Man Ryan.
Dan Snow.
Daniel Cabrera.
Daniel Fuentes.
Daniel Warden.
Danny Heck.
Debbie Gloom.
Dennis Scott.
Derek Mainhart.
Dylan L.J.
Eduardo Martinez.
Emmett Quish.
Aaron Dorian.
Jeffrey Risher.
Gerard DeVilla.
Isaac Carter.
Jake Fry.
James Connolly.
James Kurtz.
Jason Donahue.
Jeffrey Wiley.
Jolene.
John George.
Jonathan Junk.
Jonathan McCool.
Joshua Gibson.
Joshua W. Bronxit.
Julian Lobato.
Catherine Annenson.
KC Newhaven.
Kevin Grimes.
Kevin Kleinrock.
Kieran Broderick.
Cody Thomas.
Kyle.
Lee Brown.
Luana Thomas, get that cat its treat.
Luke Asink.
Mark Grillo.
Mark Zeller.
Matt Tice.
Megan Thigpen.
Michael Tillman.
Mitchell McDonald.
Nathaniel Diaz.
Nick Grayson.
Off-White Savior.
Official CBC chef, Breck Macris, a.k.a. Straight Bullies.
Omnia Solar.
Oren Dix.
Pablo Martinez.
Pedro A. Rangel.
Pete's Pretty Kitty.
Prime that Time, Paulie G.
We got the Rev Mikey here.
Rob Bliss.
Robert Pedonato.
Sarah Schottmuller.
Sarah Schaefer.
Scott Carpenter.
Scott England.
Sherry Rudnick.
Stanley.
Steve Cook.
Tamela Rush.
Taylor Bryan.
Terrible, Jason.
The Big Flood.
The 12 Banch.
Thomas Glenn.
Victor Perez.
Will Buchanan.
And Zika's Viral Comics.
Thank you, everybody, for supporting us. Regardless of what level you support us at, we appreciate it. Again, if you'd like to support the show, patreon.com/comicbookclub. You get access to our entire back catalog of podcasts stretching all the way back to 2011, as well as our Patreon Slack, crazy, where we mostly argue about food, among other things. Now, speaking of food, let's get to the second item of business here. Our, as mentioned, CBC official chef, Brett Macaris, has been curating cocktails. Really? This one, we had one suggested on Slack by Will, yes, a Comte de Sirot. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I'm sorry.
Perhaps. Whatever it is, it's gin Saint Germain, which is an elderflower liqueur, and Campari, garnished with a orange and lemon rind, and it's good. It's very strong.
I mean,
strong.
This is a cocktail. Good. If I was around a bar, I would definitely be making this. This is like a Negroni, like a lighter, airier Negroni. A springtime Negroni, we could even call it.
That's a great way.
Love all these ingredients.
So good. I've never had the Saint Germain before, so I was excited to try it out. So thank you, Will, for suggesting it. Thank you, Brett, for curating it. And all of you, check it out there if you like to drink. Next thing to mention, we have been asking you all for suggestions of graphic novels, trade collections, etc. in the iTunes comments. Leave us a rating, leave us a suggestion. Even if we've reviewed it recently, or maybe you want us to check back in it, or we missed it in some way, you can suggest it to us. This week on the stack, we're going to be reviewing Spider-Man Reign, which was suggested.
Yes.
But we got a new suggestion here I wanted to read. This is from ZurNR45 on iTunes. I look forward to each episode of this podcast. I've been a lifelong comic book fan and collector, and it's fun hearing the three hosts talk about comics with such passion. You can tell that they all love what they do and that they are good friends.
Well, I don't know about that.
Let's not push it. Let's not push it. It reminds me of the comic hangs I have with some of my friends I have converted to the medium. I would love to hear you discuss and review Batman Dark Victory. We always hear about the long Halloween, but Dark Victory isn't mentioned as often. Another run from the 90s I'd love to hear your review on is Grant Morrison's JLA Rock of
Ages. Well, easy. I mean, you can't just drop a bunch on us like that. You know what I mean?
Well, I think
like
we
both. Let's
I like both, too. I'll tell you what. Let's do it.
Let's do it double, back to back.
Back to back. We'll do it over the course of two stacks, so we'll give it space. Yeah. But we don't want to encourage people to do
Hawaii.
This.
He can't.
Man, that's Pete, right. you're being vacation. A real cop about these comments. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you are. Pete's a cop. Pete's always been a cop.
Yes. No, and as we know, all cops are booksellers. Booksellers. Who are
nice.
Suggesting comics to us.
Oh, my.
What's the library comic you like so much, Pete? Book Hunter,
yeah.
Yeah, you're
See,
being a real
cops
book,
are
hunter.
Book hunters.
There you go. Nice. Nailed it. Speaking of nailing it, let's bring in the first of our amazing guests, because we got a ton of them this show. The first two folks we're going to try to bring in here, maybe we had some tech issues before the show, but Justin Belmont and Pops Van Sant from Smokes the Fox and Woo! Weaponized Werewolf, which are both currently on Indiegogo. This is a successful campaign, which is very exciting. And we'll see if they can come in to talk about that.
Welcome to my life.
Oh, boy. Whoa. Here we got Pops Van Sant popping in with some barking dogs and immediately muting. We'll see if Justin is able to come in as well. Oh.
Hey.
Hey, there we go. Hello, Justin. Hey. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, I wasn't able to get my green screen working, so.
Listen, it's man, green. You got a nice, clean background, so that's the important part there.
We'll drop in a screen later in post, and it's going to
be
Well, don't promise that.
You should. You were going to invite me in right when the dogs went off. I just knew it was going to. That's what happened the first time. That's why I had it muted, because I didn't.
No, we actually on the podcast we always add a low sound of growling dogs throughout the entire thing to make it a little more ominous. So.
We sort of weaponize our werewolves.
Oh, I get it. You're teeing this up. Now, first of all, congratulations on the successful Indiegogo. You are fully funded with as we're timing this. There are 4 days left. But Justin, tell us about Smokes the Fox and Weaponized Werewolf.
Smokes is a character I developed when I was 15 years old, shortly after I discovered marijuana and comic books.
What a combo.
Yeah. Back in the 90s, you know, they had a big indie scene like they do now, but I think now it's actually even bigger. But back then I collected stuff like, you know, Bone, Concrete, Image of Force, and all the classic Valiant stuff from the 90s. So those are the comic books I collected. And then one day I was just sketching out, just drawing high, and then I came up with a headshot of Smokes. And originally he just has a simple pipe, and I added an X to it, Brand X pipe. Right there, you see right there. Yeah, that's one of the first drawings I ever did. So later on, I decided to actually do this comic book in 2018, pull the trigger. I walked up to Mike Barron's table, and I had nothing to lose, and I just asked him, you know, would you want to write a pot-smoking fox? My concept. And I thought he was going to say, get out of here, kid, or whatever, and he ended up saying, I'm in. And so that's how it got started. So this book's been in the back of my mind since I've been 15 years old. And I just spent eating at me. I got to do something with that book. I got to put it out. And I decided to do it in 2018. So it took about 3 years of developing. But I think it's ready to go. And just doing right now, we're just doing the design for the credits page. And that's about it. Cool. Everything else is ready to go.
Awesome. Well, talk about working with Mike Barron a little bit. What has that experience been like?
It was actually really easy to work with him. I don't know if he's really into UFOs and aliens and stuff like that, so I gave him some video links to watch what I was going for, the concept. Because in this book, there's some aliens that work in this underground facility, and it's a secret base, and it's located on the New Mexico-Colorado border. If you guys are familiar with Dulce Base, that's where I kind of got the idea for this base in the book. In the book, we call it Project Minotaur. And in this base, they work with the alien Greys, the government, and they create these mutants that are half human and half animal. And Smokes is the smartest of these creatures that they create. And Weaponized Werewolf is just a killer. He's strong, but he doesn't follow orders.
So that's the thing with werewolves.
That's going to be the thing for sure.
Yeah.
So when you back the book, you actually get Weaponized Werewolf for free. So when you read both books, you get the full picture. So Smokes doesn't give you the whole picture of the story, but when you read Weaponized Werewolf next, it fills in the gaps, so to speak.
Cool. Nice. So what is it like, given that you have had this successful Indiegogo and you've been thinking about it since you were 15 and you're now, what, 16, something like that?
I'm in my 40s.
All right. Well, you've obviously been thinking about it for a while. What is it like seeing that this project is actually coming to fruition? What does that feel like?
I'm excited. I knew it was a wild card when I put it out. I wasn't sure how it was going to go. Thought it was going to make 10 grand or... not hit my goal, but I've been just doing every podcast I can get on. I've been emailing everyone. I've been, you know, hitting the pavement and just ran with it. And every single day I'm doing a stream, two streams, or even three streams in a day. So
that's a lot of streams.
I am dedicated. I was actually hanging out with Mike Barron. Yes. I was hanging out with Mike Barron this weekend, and we had this little small convention. It was called the Wicked West Comic Expo. A little small show that was in Loveland, Colorado. And that's where Mike lives in Colorado. So
that's cool.
Now it's time for the promoter and me to take over, because this is how I met Justin. Okay. I've been friends with Mike for a long time. Well, not long time, but, you know, since I started promoting indie comics. Just over 2 years ago, okay? And everything Mike gets his fingers in, I promote. So that's how I met Justin, okay? And Justin has some amazing people, not just Mike Barron on this. You kind of, you blipped past a list with people like Gerhard and Perrin and Tim Vigil on it. There's some monster artists involved in this campaign doing covers and whatnot. And Justin just like threw his, just dove in. Okay. There wasn't a lot of pre hoopla about it or anything. It was like he dove out here, and man, I've been doing my best to promote the heck out of this book. I have a platform myself, not near as large as you guys, but I have a YouTube channel called Comic Talk with Pops Van Zandt. I do a monthly online Comic-Con nice. Where we have just one creator after another, bang, 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 all day Saturday, all day Sunday. It's wild, isn't it, Justin?
Sounds wild. Where are you coming to us from? You have like so much stuff on your wall behind you.
Well, see, this is the whole thing. It's like these people that have done all this, they gave me a lifetime of entertainment. And a couple of years ago, COVID told everybody to sit down.
Yeah.
And that made me stand up. I had a little small Facebook group called the Comic Related Madness. And there were some pretty cool people in it. Brian Polito was one of the founding members. And, you know, there were some cool people in it. So when Emerald City went down, it was like, Brian, what are you going to do? And Brian's like, I'm just going to ship everything back to Phoenix and have me a sale online next week. And he has a huge following. So that was no problem for him to sell all his stuff. But what about all my other friends that couldn't set up a table this week or next week or next week or next week? And CromCon was born. Crom is just the acronym for Comic Related Madness. That's where where the group comes from. This guy took everybody's advice when we told him go out and be on as many shows as you can, go out here and get seen, drop this link every day in as many groups as you can, promote, because that's what you got to do. If you're new. It even with the great names on this campaign that he has, as a new guy, everybody knows you got to prove yourself. You got to come out here and you got to fulfill a book, you know, because no matter how, at the end of the day, how great the book is, people have to back it. It has to get funded. You got to be able to afford to print it. And you got to get it fulfilled and get it out to people. And then book two, it sells on how good book one is. Because if it's good, you're telling your friends. Don't miss this next time it comes out. Get the back copies and whatnot. You know, if it's good, people tell each other about it. So no matter how much we can promote the heck out of book one, but man, the book's got to be good. Because people that bought it are going to be the ones that are promoting it the next one. You see what I'm saying? It's like Justin has been everywhere. He's been, and he ain't lying when he says 2-3 shows a day. He's been all over the place, man, and in every group, just working.
And that's Justin, how is your idea? How is the book changed from when you were 15? You obviously were like, I'm going to kickstart this book in like 20 or so years. Then, how has the actual idea changed?
It's changed a little bit. We upgraded the pipe. I worked with Gerhard from Cerebus fame, and we redesigned the character. That's why he has like the same type of eyes as Cerebus. You'll see that.
Yeah.
And we made him gray, just like Cerebus. Usually all the foxes you see on, you know, on TV and every show you see, it's always a red and white fox. When did you ever see a gray fox in a cartoon or whatever?
And you made him into an aardvark instead of a fox as well, right? Like that was the last little bit.
Alex, get out of here with that talk. Come
on. Originally, he just had like a wife beater and a hoodie. Mm-hmm. And later on, we added the mom uniform. You'll find out when you read the book how he gets that. But the reason why I added that, I thought it was cool. I think it's a cool uniform. And also, I'm big into, you know, the military movies like War on the 4th of July. Full Metal Jacket, Platoon, stuff like that. So I thought it was cool. And then, you know, maybe one day I get like Billy Tucci to draw a cover or something with military, you know, that'd be cool or something.
But that's awesome. Now, since we were talking about how you got to make the first issue good in order to sell the second issue, at this point, are you already working on a second issue, or is that too much?
Funny thing you should ask, because I was just I was messaging Mike earlier, and you know, pitching my next book, which will even be bigger than the first book, if he's down with the program. So I'm working with him. So he's really busy though. He has so many projects he's working on. He's working on this project called Lone Star with Pat Broderick. It's a Western. Oh, cool. It looks absolutely amazing. It's probably going to be some of Pat Broderick's best work.
I think it is some of Pat Broderick's best work. It's the art I've seen is amazing. Amazing.
Cool. Awesome.
What advice would you have for any other person out there that's been sitting on a great comic idea that they've had for many, many years, for both of you to do with that idea?
I mean, if it's your dream and that's what you want to do, I recommend that you do it. But if you're going to do it, you got to do it all the way through. You can't do it half-assed. You got to do everything yourself in this business. There's nobody helping me really, except for people that let me on the show like you guys and people that retweet and the backers. But to get those backers, you got to get in their face. You got to show them what you got. You have to pitch to them multiple times sometimes on different channels to get them to back. It might not be the first time they see you pitch that they're going to back, but maybe the third time. And you got to just keep at it. Do not stop. In the beginning, I had like a nervous breakdown because I thought it wasn't good or fun. I was like, oh, no one likes this character. What did I do? I just spent all this money, 3 years of my life, and no one likes him. And then next day, I like snapped out of it and said, you got to give this your all, you know? And then I started getting backers, and I just kept on getting booking awesome. As many shows as I could. I must have did over 100 so far, I think.
Wow. And you got a backer, somebody mentioned right here in the comments. So you got the vaunted Comic Book Club bump right here.
Yeah. CBCB.
There you go.
CBCB.
Yeah, yes. There's a stretch goal coming up at 6K where everybody gets a smoke sticker. So a chibi sticker.
Cool. Pretty close. You're at, I'm looking at it right now. You have 5,843 with 4 days left again as we're taping this. So almost there. Guys, thank you so much for coming on. Congratulations on the project.
Congrats.
Probably have to let you go because you have 5 more shows to do today, Justin. But congratulations on this success and looking forward to whatever is next. And Pops, thanks for coming on too.
I did send you an email. I also have something happening, but I still got 50 days to go, and I ain't taking away from Justin's time right now.
That's good.
I'd like to come on the show.
Quick, mention the name of the project so people can check it out.
Yeah, I put a link in there. It's called Enter the Cromniverse.
Ooh,
cool.
It's an anthology, and it crosses over with like 13 different IPs of other creators. I promote people. That brought a whole bunch of people to one place, made it really easy for me to promote them.
That's cool.
No doubt.
Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. You. We appreciate it. Have a great night.
You too.
Thank you.
Later, guys.
All right. There we go. Once again,
he's promoting people. Those buttons on his hat, he's always working.
He's got it going. Justin Belmont and Pops Van Sant. The project is called Smokes the Fox and Weaponized Werewolf. You can find it on Indiegogo right now. Now let's welcome another guest into the stream. He is a return guest. We've talked about, I don't think every issue, but a bunch of them, of this book, Adventures of a System Admin. Welcome back to the show, Juan Espinoza. Hello.
Yay. Hey, welcome back.
What's up, man?
Hey, cool shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. Comic Book
Club. That's a flex.
That's great. So for those who haven't listened to the previous shows or didn't come to the live show, I think that's the last time we talked to you about this book.
We've had one on.
You virtually as well?
I think last year.
I remember talking to you, man.
I don't know what's going on, man. Adventures of a System Admin. It pulls on your real life experiences, but also gives it a little bit of a thriller bent, particularly this issue, which I thought was a lot of fun. You want to talk about what's going on in the Sniffer?
Sure. So overall, the story is about a dropout student that wants to be assistant admin, and he gets hired to this company to like fight or prevent hackers from exfiltrating data. And in the Sniffer, what is going on is that they are very, very close to know the identity of the bigger hacker that they've been dealing with. So that's kind of the whole premises, but there's a lot of drama and people are like on the edge because they are like very focused on this guy, but like emotions are very high. So people are fighting inside the same team and stuff like that. So that's basically what's going on in the sniffer. And the sniffer is like a device, electronic device that if it's connected to your network, let's say they connect it in your house, I can see whatever you are surfing on the web. So even if you type your password and everything, I can get all that information remotely from your house to my house.
Well, you're stressing me out, Juan. I gotta say, because this sounds real. This sounds real.
It is real.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah. Honestly, this comic book is a great source for how technology is working, besides being an awesome story with fantastic art.
Thank you. Yeah, that's why I'm trying to put out there like a story, a kind of real story with real tools that people can like actually use it in real life or be aware of it. That's basically one of the main points of my story.
As always, you're delivering a great story here. The art's fantastic. It was funny reading this. What's new is since I've been remote, I've been stressed out about going back to work and going back to offices, and like seeing this like definitely triggered me. Like I had a couple of people I worked with who had really messy offices, and you could like smell them before you saw them. And some of these offices really just kind of triggered that for me. So it pulls you in. It's a great story that kind of it really pulls you in.
And particularly this issue, I mean, you've had this before, but this is a very tense issue, to be honest, reading it, just like everything that's going on with the sniffers, the company's trying to figure it out. What is it like writing in this thriller style atmosphere?
It's fun. Like, this is stuff that happened like every day. And since I'm a real assistant admin, this is stuff that happens every day in the job. So it's very fun, like to try to tweak some stuff and make it in a comic book. But yeah, this is real stuff. So trying to make it fun for the people.
Cool.
The main character sort of bears a bit of a resemblance to someone on this show right now. How do you do that sort of work life balance where you're like, well, I'm going to write this down and put it in my next comic
book? Oh yeah, yeah. I gotta be careful because I cannot use most of the stuff that I do at work because I can get in trouble.
Yeah.
But the IT war is so big and stuff happened like to every company that I use generic scenarios and stuff and put it in the book. But there's some stuff that I cannot talk about it, even though they might be super interesting, but unfortunately I cannot.
And you have in every issue you put a way to hack the back door of your real company, right? Like just information.
That's an Easter egg.
Yeah, it's funny.
I'm willing to pledge. You have 7 days left in your campaign. I'm willing to pledge a bunch of money if you'll post Pete's PayPal password in the.
No.
Can we make that happen?
Pete is my guy. Pete,
that's
is
right.
Good people.
My guy too, but it's fun. It's funny.
And I will mention because we didn't say this up top, you have the second in our line of successful campaigns. Right now, you're at over $2,000. Your goal was $1,900 and you have 7 days to go. So that's awesome. If you could keep going, what are the stretch goals at this point beyond the issue itself?
So the first stretch goal is two prints. One is from the variant cover and the other one I commissioned a tattoo artist.
Ooh,
he made a print. He's from Costa Rica. It's very good. So that's the first stretch goal. The second stretch goal, it should be stickers, if I'm not mistaken. Like three stickers for each backer that backs in the physical tire. Yeah. Cool. I have a couple of more, but hopefully we get some of those.
And at this point, you've had, I think, all six issues on Kickstarter, right? So what?
No, I got
a couple.
From three to now. So four issues in Kickstarter.
Okay.
This is my fourth campaign.
is what have you learned over that time? I mean, I know that's a very general question because you've done this multiple times for multiple issues successfully. What's a lesson potentially that you've learned that you could pass on?
I learned from the pandemic that last year's campaign was like a unicorn. Like I cannot, I don't compare all my other campaigns with the one from last year. Because the one last year, everybody was at home. Everybody had money right. that they didn't waste, like going out drinking or whatever. So they had money and they just, oh, this is seems interesting. Let me pledge. But now or before that, people that really liked it, the idea was the one that were pledging. So that's something that I learned. I was hoping like, oh, my God. This next one maybe is the same as the as last year, but I noticed that it's the same as the one before that one.
Okay.
So that's something that happened that I kind of
that's cool. Learned. That's so smart. Yeah, it's true.
So I had to tweak some.
Well,
some
I'm glad stuff. You had that spike, though. I'm glad you were able to capitalize on that spike.
Yeah, me too.
Why people were home and you know able to pledge. That's great.
And I was afraid to do it last year, but. I just won.
I'm glad you did it then.
Yeah, me too. Good.
It's a good book, man. It's really good.
Yeah, thank you. That's awesome. Juan, thank you so much for coming on. Good luck with everything. Yeah,
great seeing you, man. Always you're looking sharp.
Thank you.
You look really. You're dressed so well. It's just amazing.
Yeah, thank you. Really thank you. Beautiful. Where did you get that? Did you get that at comicbookclub.threadless.com?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. I see a little back and forth. A little quid pro quo here with some promotion. This is how we do. We're shills.
Yeah, Juan, thank you for coming
thank
on.
Thank you so
great
much.
Great seeing you, man. Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
All right. Once again, that was Juan Espinosa. Right. The project is Adventures of a System Admin. The 6th issue, The Sniffer, is live right now. It's super fun. And like I said, very intense. I think it feels better every issue. I'm just going to say.
You seem scared. Really. You seem a little stressed.
I'm terrified right now.
Your firewalls are working, Alex? Or what's up?
I'm getting hacked, I think. My firewalls are getting hacked. Just like Harrison Ford in the movie Firewall.
A movie that hasn't aged a day since it was released.
All right, let's welcome in another return guest here. He is the creator of yet another crowdfunding project. This time it's Hive Mind. His name is Plaid Klaus. Hello, how are you?
Hey.
Welcome.
Hey, I got to be with you guys in person. I don't know if you remember a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Hive Mind, another successful Kickstarter project, 3 for 3 here on the podcast. Very exciting. But this one, you got 15 days ago, so there's plenty of time. Hivemind is, I'm trying to think how best to describe it, but basically like sci-fi noir. Does that boil it down too much, or is that fair?
That's the elevator pitch, yeah.
All right. Nice. Well, give us the slightly longer pitch then. What's the idea of the book?
Am I echoing with you guys too?
No, you're great.
Yeah, you sound great.
Cool. So, no, it's basically about a detective who starts to peel back the onions of an old case that got him kicked out of what's called the Hive. And he starts to discover that society itself might have some machinations that are outside of their control, like humans, the equivalent of humans. And it starts to get darker and darker. And as he digs into the case, he starts to question his own mind. I mean, it's hard to summarize it because it's not like a traditional threaded story. And if you guys have read it, I know the twist at the end is supposed to be like a knife. So that's the short pitch.
It stinks.
It's another great book that you've done. I also really love the changing in the kind of like paneling. Like we go from like no words, just kind of like actions.
Yeah.
And kind of like at a more per clip. It's very cool how it the whole story flows. It's very impressive. When you were looking at, were you kind of like thinking about page count that you had to like speed some things up, or I really love the pace of it.
No, I mean, so I've been an artist for a lot of writers for a while, and this is my first journey into writing. On a big scale. And I wanted to sort of leverage the medium. My goal was to use the art of comics to tell the story that you couldn't do in other mediums.
Nice.
So, everything was kind of really planned out. Those 16 panel pages, the idea behind that is that what you see at the beginning is then twisted at the end, and they actually overlay to reveal different information, because the whole premise is that his mind is contained in the hive. So in this right. parallel universe, he has to actually connect to the network to remember anything.
I feel that way myself.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's kind of like where we're headed. I mean, you think about what a community could do 100 years ago and what they could do now without the internet. And it's kind of, I mean, there's a diminishment of humans' ability based on our leveraging of technology. So,
I mean, as you're mentioning here, a lot of the book has to do with memory, how we remember mm-hmm. things, when we remember things. So when you're planning out something like that, which is not only a mystery in the quote unquote present, but also something we were embracing in the past, how do you tackle that as a writer? You know, I mean, I know some people are like murder board on their wall or timeline. Some people just have a document. What's your process like?
No, it's 2 points. I mean, I have to know where the story's going, and I have to put myself in both the viewer and the person experience all at the same time. And you don't want to reveal too much up front, but you know what's happening. So I smoked a lot of weed, and then I just forgot what I was writing. And then I read it when I was sober.
It seems to be a through line to our guest this evening. No.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know how I was going to talk Smokes the Fox, but yeah. I'm trying. No, but I mean, that's the question, is like, how do you make sure it's balanced? And I would constantly reread and reread and make sure that the reader was understanding what was happening as it's happening, and put faith that I knew I was going to deliver at the end the final drop of the hammer. And I mean, my biggest fear was with Lost. You know, I think they were very good at teasing and teasing and teasing, but they weren't good at delivering at the end. So
I've never thought of that before. Alex, that tracks with what you're thinking, right? Yeah. Alex is a real Lost last season apologist. So
I felt it could have been stronger, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Like Memento being a contained movie and the concept was known, it's easier. I think the problem with Lost is that it's a TV series, so they actually benefit by drawing it out, which is, I think, something media is learning now, because everything's on television now, all the good stuff.
Listen, and Glenn, thank you so much for coming on. I don't appreciate the personal attacks.
Did you write for Lost?
No, but I have a box set behind me.
Okay.
And I feel like I love
watching season 1, 2, and then 3. I was like,
well, to be fair, if we really want to get into it, they were like that too. Yeah. David Lindelof and Carlton Cuse were like, season 3 is pretty famously the one where they told ABC, like, we have to come up with an end game. We just wrote an episode about Jack's tattoos.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? So,
that's what I get.
Real quick, Alex. Yeah. They're in a tough position. And I don't know why you're still backing this final season. They clearly were like, oh, we don't know. We don't know how to drive. We're just at the steering wheel.
Maybe it's just
crazy
all
car.
A dream.
Yeah,
exactly. That's never been done before.
Why are you getting into this? Why are we doing this? This is hurting. This is hurting my soul.
I'll stop twisting.
It's all just a counterpoint to this great book that is
this
focused
so much
and
better.
Has an ending in mind from the jump.
Yes, that's totally fair. I did want to ask you, Plaid, what is it like writing for yourself as an artist and drawing for yourself as a writer?
Like I said, I just get so high that I don't know which one's which. No, I mean, it's fun. I love it. I do full script because I feel like you have to really know what's happening on paper before you can start drawing, or you get into corners that are lost, like, I guess.
I mean, is there a point when you're drawing the stuff where you're like, ah, God damn it, me as a writer, or does it make it a little freer because you are able to change it back and forth and you're not necessarily, say, waiting for notes from the writer, like, you were on Void Trip or
no? It's different hats. And actually, I wonder, because when you're writing, it's so vivid in your head, and as an artist, it's very hard to extract that and make it right. Which, when you're collaborating, can make something new and even more interesting. But when you're collaborating with yourself, you're just judging everything you know it could be.
Wow. So what like do you're you having think? A real mental break.
Well, what would you want to do going forward? I mean, obviously you have all of these tools at your disposal now, but in terms of upcoming projects, do you feel like you want to write something for yourself again? Do you want to just sort of back off and be like, okay, I'm just going to do the art, or are you so jazzed about the writing? That's where you're more leading into.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's like the Ten of Cups, if you know anything about Tarot. So too many choices, but I think what I want to do is a little bit of everything. So because I can handle the full range, I'm probably going to do more publications and work with writers, but then also do like my side projects on long term. And I'm actually going to start building a team to keep pushing Hive Mind.
Oh, cool.
So I want to promote some artists that maybe aren't as known, but like I love their style, and have them team up, and then that's where I'm going. So we'll see.
Well, talk about that a little bit more. If you're going to be pushing Hive Mind, obviously you have 15 days, but are you thinking beyond that at this point? Oh, yeah. Are you thinking about continuing the story?
Yeah. It's a 3-volume arc. Mm-hmm. In the same way that the first volume is completely thought out, the next two are as well. So it'd be a shame for me not to get to them, because actually one ends solidly, but then I fuck your brain again with two and then one more time with three. So, I want to get through.
And that's where the characters are just playing a game of chess on the beach or something, right?
Yeah. Well, no, there's chess in it. I don't know.
That's the worst. I'm not going to defend the second to last episode of Lost.
No, but it is like a 4 or 5-dimensional chess.
The chess you did do in this was really great. Thanks. I was, it was really tripped out in all the right ways.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys, what was your reaction at the end? Just out of curiosity. Like, were you like, it makes sense? What the fuck? Did you go back and read it once more? Or
Pete, you're about to.
Well, yeah, I thought I definitely didn't. I wasn't like, aha, I knew it.
Right. <good.
laughs> I was kind of like, oh shit.
Yeah. Okay.
And
cool.
Then it was kind of like, let me just peek. Yeah. I just want to peek back.
Such an awful, haunting thing to do to a hero.
I think you said it best when you said it's like a knife. You knifed us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right in our brain.
But there's a redeeming factor in the second volume.
All right.
Well, I don't know. Oh, that
no. That's a good tease. That's a good reason for people to pledge this, I think.
Yeah.
To get the second one so they can keep the story going. As mentioned, you got 15 days left. You're already successful, but hopefully even
I'm
more
so lazy. I was listening to the last guy. He was like on all these podcasts. I literally was like, I'm just going to see what happens. And I put it up there. And luckily, I have a lot of old fans that were like super generous and nice.
That's
and nice.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Plaid, congratulations. It was great seeing you again.
It's amazing.
Appreciate it.
I missed the beers from last time, but I had a good time nonetheless.
I got some. Armist.
I know. I didn't bring mine.
Where are you at? That's on you, Plaid.
I know.
Awesome. Great seeing you. Have
right,
a great
you
night.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, take care of yourself.
Great to see you, man. Good luck.
Once again, that was Plaid Klaus. The project is called Hive Mind. It is on Kickstarter now, and it is awesome, so definitely check it out.
Yeah.
This podcast is sponsored by The Coldest Water. Get 10% off your first order by using code CBC at coldest.com.
Hi, everyone. If you're looking for a new pop culture podcast and you need something that doesn't set its bar too high or low, then our podcast is for you. I'm Luke, and with me as always is Nick. Join us for our bi-weekly pod centered around all things pop culture related. In our second season, we're talking all things 2021 through to early 2022's films, games, TV shows, and more. We also have our monthly in-depth series, and this season we're focusing on Batman, covering films, comics, animations, and we'll culminate in the release of The Batman in March 2022. We'll have guests, spoilers, jokes, and the occasional bad language. Find us wherever you get your podcasts and on social media at ConsistentlyPod to keep up to date. If you're on Apple Podcasts, subscribe for extra content. Join us every other Wednesday for a consistently okay time.
And folks, we are going to move to our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It's your audience questions. And for audience questions, pretty straightforward. But if you're watching on YouTube, drop a question about literally anything in the comments over here on Crowdcast. Drop it and ask a question. Already see a couple in there. Before we get into it, though, you guys know what I'm drinking. I'm drinking tonight's cocktail, What are you guys drinking?
I'm drinking a little vodka and Wawa green tea.
Wawa?
Yeah, a little Wawa green tea.
Wawa
nice.
Green tea.
Nice. Who is their tea sommelier?
I don't know, but they do good stuff. You know what I mean?
Do you just have like crates of vodka at home or what's going on?
Maybe.
Oh, all right. Fair enough. Justin, what about you? You're drinking some Kona? Or something like that.
It is Kona. Good call, Alex.
This is
a very, very tiny, expensive plastic cup beer from the hotel bar.
That's kind of the best beer, though. That's good stuff. All right, why don't we move to some questions here. We got one. This is from Kevin. What's a non-superhero group from TV or other media you'd like to see a superhero version of, like the Super Globetrotters or the Robotnik Stooges?
Wow.
Kevin.
Jesus.
So a non-superhero.
He's 85. Team. The guy is 85 years old with these references.
No, he's not. He's
Kevin?
No, he's not. I understand them all, and it makes me question myself. Non-superhero team. Well, yeah, I mean, when he says like stuff like that, I want to stay in the same genre. It'll be like, all right, A-team or, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's a good answer. Yeah. I guess I would say the main reporters from 60 Minutes.
Nice. Yeah.
Could juice them up.
I was going to say the editorial board of the Washington Post. So
yeah.
Similar. Wow.
There you go.
News Warriors. Guys,
the real superheroes.
I would say the Daily Show.
Sure. You're talking about original Daily Show era. 100%.
Well, when you guys say news, that's where my mind goes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I get all my news from old A-Team episodes, though. So
Smart.
I don't know much of what's happening.
Yeah.
Faces, good looking. Headlines.
This is from Jolene. With the X-Men eventually being introduced in the MCU and the largely sexless nature of the MCU, sure, Eternals had a sex scene, but I don't think there was any passion. Excuse me. I just want to stop here talking about passion in the Eternals. When they're lying on top of each other, one of them moves like a little bit, like a little bit, and they seem to be there. So that's how sex happens, as far as I'm
that's
aware.
That's right. I was so turned on, I had to leave the theater. So.
How well do you think they will be at adapting a group that is so inherently queer, another weak part of the MCU, and horny as the X-Men? I do think...
Great question.
Yeah.
I think we all know the answer. They won't do that part of it.
So, I mean, here's the thing that is tricky about the X-Men, and I don't mean this like negatively tricky. It's more tricky in terms of decisions, is X-Men can be used as a metaphor at this point for literally anything, like literally any underserved group. Certainly queer as a metaphor is 100% valid. Race as a metaphor is 100% valid. There are so many different things that they could talk about. There's been a lot of talk like over the years in particular, I've seen things like, oh, Denzel Washington should be Magneto. And then, I don't know, somebody else should be Professor X. And then we lead into that aspect of it. Or, like you're saying, there could be the queer aspect of it as well. I think the thing that I've been thinking about, because there's been so much talk about it, is whatever they do, and I know this is like a little bit of a cop-out, but I want them to just do a strong choice. And I mean that, like, I don't want to see, like, 1960s X-Men or... Here's the X-Men again, and I think, honestly, that's the thing that's probably holding them up a little bit right now beyond getting a distance from the Fox franchise, because that ended in the worst possible way.
Well, and I think that's what they didn't make a choice. They were just like, these characters have superpowers, and they just did that. I think it's hard for them to make choices. I think the MCU distinguished itself in the individual movies by making a strong genre choice. So I would hope they could come at what the metaphor would be for a modern X-Men movie through that. Because I don't think they're going to make a big choice when it comes to like really nailing down this as a queer metaphor or race metaphor or any generational differences, anything like that.
Pete, what about you?
It's hard. I hear what you're saying, Zal's, about the hard choice. I just hope that they do update it and kind of do something, you know, if they do find a genre that fits, I know they tried to do kind of like the horror kind of feel for that one movie with the New Phoenix Mutants. In there. Yeah, New Mutants. Yeah, and that was an interesting idea and, you know, kind of brought a freshness to something. So I hope maybe somebody finds kind of a window or a way in that makes sense. But yeah, the worst thing they could do is just kind of rush something. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. So far, it's been kind of a shit show. But, you know, the other things have been really successful. So we'll see.
Well, let's see. Obviously, we have Professor X coming in the Doctor Strange movie. No one could argue with that at this point.
Right? Yeah, I wonder how they're going to deal with that in retrospect. Like, I also think a very waffly choice would be just like, just kind of introduce them, you know, like we have Professor X here and then like, oh, Hugh Jackman shows up in another movie through multiverse stuff or whatever. That would be a bummer to me. I'd rather like figure out what it means and why we're doing this, you know?
I feel like they're sort of the safer choice that I bet they make is a generational thing, like sort of young people versus like boomers mm-hmm. versus zoomers kind of a thing. So it can be like a punk counterculture idea that they would take shape, or they could listen to Pete and make it about giving short people their chance.
Hell yeah.
And you'll finally doing a Wolverine silver dollar pancake at actual chance. Size. Yeah.
Yes. Well, we will see what happens. They're going to do it at some point. This is from Josh H. Were there any characters, comics or otherwise, that you guys would constantly draw? My favorite was Nightcrawler.
Ooh great question.
Constantly draw comic book.
I would do Ghost Rider a lot because I could draw a bike and a flaming skull.
What? Nice... That's so hard. Wait, you was on a bicycle?
Yeah, it was like just a shitty bike, and then it would just be the flaming skull would be the fun shit. Part, which Pixar then turned
didn't
into
happen, Pete. And then give us Punisher. That doodle. Give us that Pete LePage doodle.
I don't have those anymore. Are you kidding me?
Pete's LeDoodle page. That's what we want to see. I'm sure you could still do it. I'm sure it's still in your muscle memory, Pete. Oh, bring man. It to us.
I definitely tried. This is not a good answer, but I definitely tried to like. I would try tracing the characters with tracing paper and then trying to draw it freehand. And I was like, this looks bad. So I didn't have a specific character that I did. I just tried it. That's all. It was X-Men characters, definitely.
Yes, X-Men is definitely what I would draw. And I would do like the look of the character would always be based on an actual X character. And then I would be like, but this rogue clone has fire powers or something, but there's wearing a tiny jacket in spandex. So I was definitely doing a lot of that. And oddly,
tiny jackets like... make sense. You love tiny shirts.
Right. That's where I first decided to love clothes that were ill-fitted. I mean, I do think, I mean, look at the shirt I'm wearing. It's got stripes. Ridiculous. I'm wearing a superhero uniform, essentially, in a normal day. I'm in around professionals that I work with. I also would randomly draw a lot of like late 90s Avengers, like Black Knight. I would do sort of that look a lot because I'd like his sword.
Why don't we move over here to YouTube? We got a general question. This is a point of order, I guess we would call it. Ooh, this is from Jaron Townsend. Can I recommend a trade paperback for review? I unfortunately do not have an iTunes account or an Apple device to use to leave the review. I did leave a 5-star review on Spotify, though. So what do we think?
What's this person's name?
Jaron Townsend?
That's too much like Nat Townsend. Is it? This isn't a trap. It's not
Pete,
a trap.
Once and for all, his name is Nat Townsend. So if you're going to punch this man, at least know his name.
Nah, I don't have to.
I would say... Yes, this is fine. Obviously, we can take recommendations. I know we're asking for it in a specific place. It's good for organizing it there. But if you have a recommendation for us and you don't have an Apple account or anything like that, maybe shoot us an email, comicbookclublive@gmail.com.
Not Nat Townsend. Just listen. You send this to us at the email and say, hey, you mentioned this on the show. And I did a review on Spotify and we'll get you in there. All right.
Just absolutely. Hit us up on our eBomb World account and leave a comment there.
Straight Bullet says, I sit in too many meetings lately. Can't 90% of the meetings be summed up in an email?
Yes. Wow. Yes, they can.
Interesting point. Yes, I think so.
Yes, I think this man has had too many Comte de Seras, is what I'm going to say. This is from Pablo de Martinez. What's your take on comics that depend on topics to keep the book relevant?
Interesting.
I what say, is this keep down? Your politics out of my comic books.
Oh, boy.
Nah, I'm kidding.
It's funny. I feel like I can't think of a lot of books that do that. That really, I guess maybe the more like where the whole all premise is built around something. Well, but what comic book uses some sort of pop culture or topical thing
as its main driving not enough course? Of them. I mean, to your point, but it's also like we talk about incessantly, it's a root of the genre. That's where it started with Captain America punching Nazis and Superman punching Nazis and other people punching Nazis. Like, but other things, and we were just talking about X-Men being a metaphor for queer, for race, for a million other things, for punk culture. Like, this has always been part of the comic book genre. I'm not 100% sure what Pablo is asking here, but I think what immediately came to mind is there was some YouTube video. The screenshot was being passed around this week. It was a YouTube review of Morbius, and it was like, Morbius, well, at least it isn't woke. And they were talking about that as a positive thing. And I was like, first of all, I'm not going to defend Morbius, but this whole
thing. Have you seen it?
I was there opening night, bro.
Don't talk about.
Oh, Pete Froh's talking about Morbius. We shouldn't talk about Morbius anymore.
It's full Morbius shutdown.
Yes.
Sony shut him down.
Yes. My point being that I think like this whole thing of like keep politics out of my comic books and my comic books movies is fucking stupid. And it's part of the thing. I would rather they do it more often rather than less often. One of the tricks, frankly, is the production schedule of comics, which is at least 3 to 4 months behind, if not longer, which makes it tricky to make it like super topical. But I wish they'd do it more. Honestly,
I mean, the main people that want to keep politics out of the comic books are the studios who make the movies and television shows. They definitely don't do that for the most part. So I don't think this is something we have to worry about as an issue.
Absolutely. We got one last question here. I know I already asked a question. This is from Jolene, but up for talking about how people are review bombing Moon Knight simply for mentioning the Armenian genocide. I think this ties nicely into our last question, which is that's fucking stupid.
Yeah, I agree. Obviously people have a lot of issues, everyone's issues, but the way that has become, it's affected Moon Knight is so, just didn't see that coming.
I mean, and also the other thing is like, just real quick, ignore Rotten Tomatoes audience scores and ignore IMDb scores because they mean nothing. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I'm not sure what happened with Moon Knight and the bombing or whatever.
There were just a lot of reviews of people. The fact that they mentioned, acknowledged the Armenian genocide, there's a lot of people who are. That's a major issue for them. So they gave 1-star reviews, people who are into denying the Armenian genocide, bad review bombed Moon Knight.
Oh, wow. Okay. I see what you mean. That's rough.
This has
been
another episode of We Bring Pete the News.
Oh, man. Well,
I get all my news from Comic Book Club.
Yeah. I get it's a daily show and you guys. So that's all I got.
That's great.
Yikes.
Pete. Also yikes. All right, that's it for our audience questions. We're gonna move it on to our next section, which is trivia, and for that we're gonna turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win 25 free doll hairs in the form of Midtown Comics online. That's right, it's a Midtown Comics online gift card. Are we taking first hand up, or is there a chosen one?
Well, the first hand up guy is actually the guy who I wrote on email today to say, hey, you want to come on? And he never got back to me. Pablo de Martinez is our contestant today.
Wow.
Pablo. So there you go. He should be in here any moment to do trivia and potentially
he win. Could take it home.
He could.
Pablo's a sharp
what
player.
If somebody loses, Pete? What happens?
It's never
hey
happened.
Pablo, how are never, you
never in all the years we've been doing Oop. This.
Oh, Pablo's got hey Pablo's back.
Hello.
Hey.
All right, Pablo, you are all competing right. for a $25 gift card. Take it away, Pete.
Today's trivia is on topical comic news and a small nod to the legend Estelle Harris, RIP. Please listen to all three options before making your selection. Here we go. Question number one, Pablo. On Free Comic Book Day, we get the debut of the daughter of blank. Is it A, Thor, B, Blade, or is it C, Lou Diamond Phillips? So it's either what? A, Thor, don't pick it, or it's B, Blade.
It's got to be B.
That's correct.
Great. B for Blade.
Here we go. Question number two. What is the name of the next Superman title that revisits Crisis on Infinite Earths? Is it A, Return to the Crisis, B, Space Age, or C, Andy Garcia? So it's either A, which isn't Ooh. Real, or it's B.
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 You are correct.
Pablo
Space
B.
Age,
Martinez.
Superman. Here we go. Last one. IDW is collecting the original comic strip blank and publishing them in order. What is the name of the comic strip? Is it A, Bloom County, B, Family Circle, or is it C, Edward James Olmos? So it's either A, if you would like $25, or you could be wrong.
Well, I'm going to be wrong. I'm going to say B, but I'm going to go with A.
A is correct.
Wow.
Yes. Congratulations. Yours. Now, without looking at the comments, do you know what the secret movie that Pete was hinting at?
Stand and Deliver.
Nice.
Yes.
Great job. And let's give a shout out to...
And I didn't even look at the comments. Okay.
I mean, I want to believe you, Pablo, but I don't. I really love that Kevin threw out Edward James Olmos before you said it.
Yeah.
Kevin is slowly eating.
I didn't look at the comments, I swear. I was looking at you guys.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, Pablo.
Okay, Pablo.
Listen, take your $25 gift card and your lies and get out of here, all right?
Great seeing you, Pablo. Yeah.
Always good seeing you. Yeah. Bye, Pablo. All right. If you would like to do trivia, I'm going to drop the link here in the comments, or you can check it out online at Comic Book Live on Twitter. In the meantime, new comic books are coming out all the time. What
sure are
you
all the
guys...
time, especially tomorrow.
Yes, yeah. Especially tomorrow, but also today. What are you guys looking forward to?
A lot of
great
stuff
coming out. Pete. A lot of
great stuff. I'm going to go with the Little Monsters number 2. Ooh. And Wonder Woman Historia, the Amazon's book 2.
Nice. Justin, what about you?
I'm going to give it up to X-Men Red number 1 by Al Ewing. We've talked a lot about Jonathan Hickman and his departure from the X-Men world. And I feel like Al Ewing is a great person to take that baton forward and really bring us that very similar type of storytelling. Very looking forward to this.
I'm looking forward to Alice Ever After, number 1 from Boom Studios. This is by Dan Panosian, who, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the name of the book that he wrote, Something of Ravens, Murder of Ravens. I'm blanking on the name, whatever the book is. He is a singular talent. We had him on the live show, and it was a very cool book, so I'm excited to see what he is following that nice. Up with. And folks...
An Unkindness of Ravens?
An Unkindness of Ravens. Thank you.
Which we love that book. Yes.
So there you go. All of those books are going to be on the Stack podcast that debuts in Wednesday at 9 a.m. Both in the Comic Book Club feed. Both in the Comic Book Club feed and its own dedicated Stack feed. And that is it for this week's show.
Justin's in Maui.
Bunch of guests we have to thank. This week, Plaid Klaus for coming on. Check out Hive Mind, which is on Kickstarter now. Juan Espinoza, Adventures of a System Admin, The Sniffer on Kickstarter now. And Justin Belmont and Pops Van Zandt. Check out Smokes the Fox and Weaponized Werewolf on Indiegogo. Next week on the show, we're going to have James Kolchaka is going to be here.
Awesome.
To talk about Glork Patrol. And Nate Cosby is going to be here to talk about Alter Ego, his new project. Should be a great one. A couple of other things to plug. Riverdale After Dark, or Riverdale Podcast, is back posting after the Sunday night airing of the show. Also, Marvel Vision, our Marvel podcast, is recapping Moon Knight. The new episode should be in your feeds at 3 a.m. Very cool. Check that out as soon as you wake up. It should be there.
Patreon. Listen to the podcast first and then watch the episode.
Oh, yeah. That'll be weird. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support the show and all the shows we do. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to listen, follow, and subscribe at Comic Book Live on Twitter, Comic Book Club Live on Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, good night.
Take care of yourself.
Night. I'll be back next week with a sunburn.